Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, welcome everyone. I'm Rita Hauk Lane, your host for the next hour. Please join me as we seek a deeper and closer relationship with Jesus Christ, well, actually with the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can't leave anybody out. So anyway, I'm so happy to be with you. I was away for the Thanksgiving holiday, and so I had to broadcast remotely from where I was, and that doesn't allow me to be on Facebook, but I was on the radio. And if you missed that, I hope you'll go to our website, inhissign.com, and click on the bars up top. It says content, and then go to the podcast and scroll down till you see Duke and Ultim from the end of November, excuse me, right before Thanksgiving. I had been to the new Wicked movie, Wicked for Good, and I talked about some of the things I heard in that movie that really touched my heart. And so anyway, if you missed it, you can listen to it on our website, okay? I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I can't complain about mine. I had delicious food in a very beautiful place with lots of sunshine. And I just hope you did too. And I pray that the Lord will richly bless our time together today. It's funny, when I'm not in the studio, I guess since I'm fairly new at this, I have to like psych myself to be able to speak to a camera instead of people. And it doesn't bother me, it just feels a little strange. But I'm happy to be here, really happy to be here, and I hope you'll join me for the next hour. I want to start the show with some good news. Some good news. While I was away, I read a New York Post article on New Yorkers turning to church. Number of Catholic converts soaring, according to the priests. This was an article, I believe it was published November 16th of this year. And I want to share with you some of the information in it. Because what I liked about this article was they shared why these young adults, like ages 18 to mid-30s, were coming into the church, were seeking the Lord, seeking the Catholic Church. And I wanted to share that with you so you can understand what they're searching for and also what has meant the world to them and caused them to at least be curious about the church and about Christianity, you know, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to share some of this with you. It starts out, young people come to New York City to chase careers, materialism, and pleasure. The pursuit of faith isn't exactly on the Big Apple checklist. However, at a recent very crowded Sunday night mass at St. Joseph's Church in Greenwich Village, Father Jonah Teller made a simple announcement indicating that times are changing. According to Teller, the number enrolled in the parish's Order of Christian Initiation of Adults, the process in which adult converts join the Catholic Church, had tripled since last year, with roughly 130 people signing up. And there's similar stories at other parishes in New York City, doubled, some of their Sunday 7 p.m. masses and Saturday afternoon masses have become very overcrowded. And Father Daniel Ray from the Basilica of St. Patrick's, they're out of space for Mass and exploring adding more masses. So that tells you something really wonderful. In the Diocese of Brooklyn, in 2024, they had 538 adults enter the church, nearly twice the amount of 2023. Since activist Charlie Kirk, an evangelical Protestant, was assassinated in September, there's been reports that Mass attendance is way up. And part of that is because Charlie was looking at becoming Catholic. And so his faith, what he was saying about his faith, really resonated with these young adults. And so over the last year, Catholic churches have cited more conversions among young adults. Okay. Such a large number of people seeking faith in uber-secular New York City is remarkable. And anyway, one of the things that they accredit it to is that in an unstable and fractured world, the promise of strength, love, and community really resonates. Okay. And this young person by last name is Lenahan. My generation is watching things fall apart. Keegan Lenahan, I am assuming it's a guy, but it may not be, who is, you know, going through the OCIA at St. Joseph, told the Post, when things all seem to be going wrong in greater society, maybe organized religion isn't all that bad. Indeed, the crop of converts, most of whom have no experience with formal faith. Hear that again. Most of these people coming into the church have no experience with formal faith. They have cited a variety of cultural forces. What's going on in the culture that is leading them towards the church? Some are looking for balance and meaning in a chaotic, polarized world where politics has become a stand-in for real faith. In fact, a few cited Charlie Kirk's murder. Many are high achievers, unfulfilled by success. And it said, materially, we have everything at our fingertips, and it's not reaching our hearts. So, anyway, others have been profoundly changed by a personal loss, like Cindy Zhao. The healthcare worker decided to convert after her 42-year-old cousin tragically died after a short battle with cancer. And this is a quote from her: "My own personal life drove me to faith. It's helped me to find clarity." And then there's Liz Flynn. This is a cute story. Who found the Lord in the gift shop of a North Carolina Cracker Barrel. She goes on to explain, the 35-year-old Brooklyn carpenter, like many in her generation, had suffered from anxiety and depression, seeking relief in self-help books, yoga, and pseudo-spiritualism. She says, "I thought I would struggle for the rest of my life." She's in OCIA as well to join the church. In July, Flynn was in a dark place while driving to Florida with her boyfriend. They stopped at the restaurant, Cracker Barrel, in where she picked up 15 Minutes Alone with God. It's a little book by Emily Barnes. I have a couple of Emily Barnes books. They're short and powerful, loaded little books. And so she found that in the gift shop and bought it. On the first page, she read a selection about God's unconditional love for all his children. You see, we Catholic Christians, or people who have been a Christian off and on or their whole entire lives, we don't realize how many young adults have never heard that God loves them unconditionally. and he wants a real relationship with them. They've never heard it. She tells this right here. She said, on the first page, she read a selection about God's unconditional love for all his children. That was news to her. Suddenly, she struggled to compose herself. I didn't want to make a scene in the Crackle Barrel, she says with a laugh. But something shifted. Flynn started praying the rosary, which led her to a great appreciation for the Virgin Mary and to Catholicism. And here's a quote from her. I'm happier and calmer than I've ever been. Prayer has made an enormous impact on my life, says Flynn. And then Lenihan, that I mentioned the name before, described a similar piece since turning to Catholicism, a religion his grandparents abandoned thanks to years of scandal. The 28-year-old always had a relentless curiosity about the world. As a science-minded high school student, he dove into atheist freethinkers like Bill Maher, Richard Dawkins, and Christopher Hitchens. But at Duke, where he was on the track team, he described a crisis that caused anxiety and panic attacks. And thus a renewed search began that included retreats. Remember, I've talked to you about retreats, how important and powerful they are. So in his experience, he included retreats and reading Roman philosopher Marcus Aurelius. The software engineer started his own business in New York, but in 2024, he had a breaking point. This is a quote from him. I realized on paper I had everything I wanted, but I had no fulfillment in my soul. That's when he formally decided to join the church. Ben Cook is another person. He's an entrepreneur who was similarly dissatisfied despite growing then selling two companies. I'm a progressive kid from San Francisco, Cook, 32 years old, told me, raised by hippie parents who had a kind of falling out with the Christian faith. Cook met two Catholics, and this is a quote from him. He met two Catholics who were undeniably the healthiest, happiest, and most well-adjusted friends I had in college. That was the beginning of me saying, maybe there's something more to this package. See what happens when we live our faith? First of all, when we get to know Jesus, I mean, really, really get to know him and seek him out. He comes and he finds us and he gives us what we need. And it is healthy, happy, and well-adjusted. And so people see that and they want it. That's what happened with Ben Cook. His two Catholic friends were living their faith. They had joy, peace of mind. They were able to make, life was good for them. And he wanted that. Anyway, he started reading and seeking out various avenues of Christianity. He envied those with faith. When his wife had complications delivering their daughter, he recalls her being wheeled out of the hospital room. He dropped to his knees to pray. A quote from him, I had this realization that everything that was important to me was completely out of my control. Thankfully, his wife and daughter are perfectly healthy, but it was a turning point for Cook. So you see, he saw that, a lot of things in our lives we can control, or we can at least have a great deal of power over. But he realized at that point in his life, with his wife and daughter, with these complications, and they were serious, that some things are out of your control. What are you going to do with that? Okay. So that was a turning point for him. Meanwhile, his childhood best friend, Mark Carlson, a lapsed Catholic, was separately finding his way back to the church. They're both in OCIA at St. Joseph, something Cook calls complete and utter serendipity. So, Carlson, also age 32, also had been raised in a very liberal environment that pushed him away from the Catholic Church. But he started to grow disillusioned with society's unhealthy movement toward woke doctrines that venerated cancel culture, an obsession with climate change, tolerance of crime, and a radical call to action. So he realized that Catholicism offered all the things people were seeking through therapy and social groups like run clubs. What I hadn't appreciated before, now he's a lapsed Catholic, what I hadn't appreciated before is that these are good teachings. They give us guardrails, said Carlson, who works in finance. It's that structure and value system that attracted Ian Burns as he graduated from the University of Michigan, where he played basketball. There's a lot of turmoil, this is a quote from Ian Burns, there's a lot of turmoil right now and I'm in transition, so I feel like I needed something to lean on. He's 22. Burns, who was baptized in the Episcopal Church and stopped attending services because basketball took up too much of his time. Okay. And the end of the article is, why Catholicism? Why? They asked Burns this. Okay. And he responded, and this was my response too. It's the original religion of Christianity, the original church. And I wanted to get to the root of it rather than join a branch. Okay. He hopes his relationship with God will help him build a traditional, family-oriented life. I want to meet someone who has similar values and have children. You know, that's one of the things that I'm hearing more and more from young adults, is what the world is offering them is no roots, nothing solid. Even science can't provide those kind of roots. And so they're disillusioned. What is truth? What can I base my life on when it changes every day? You know, look at what happened with science during COVID. It was all over the place. And look at the people who are constantly saying, follow the science, who live in absolute denial of the human being in the womb. It's confusing to them. It makes no sense to them. And they don't know what to do. So they are starting to go where the answers are. Jesus Christ is the center of the universe. The church is Jesus's vehicle on earth. You might not agree with some of the things that are taught there. You might not appreciate the human beings that are there, including some priests and bishops. But the church has been protected. It has outlasted most governments, most other things that are man-made. And so there are roots there. There's stability there. As long as you don't get caught up in looking for everything wrong and putting yourself on a pedestal to judge everybody that's in the church. The church is for imperfect people. That's why it exists. The Lord knew we needed to be with other imperfect people, to support each other, to encourage each other, to hear the word of God and be fed food for the journey in the Holy Eucharist, where we are united, truly united with Jesus in a spectacular way. So these young people, that's what happened with me. I was a Christian all my life. And of course, I fell away like most young people do here and there and everywhere. But then when I got a little older and I realized that, just like these young people, what the world is offering me is superficial, it's selfish, and it doesn't fulfill me. And so I came back. But as time went on, I wanted more. And the more I looked into the differences in churches, and the more I found out, I didn't even know that the Catholic Church was the first church. I didn't even know that. So I started looking into it, and it's just a treasure. A treasure. There's so much there, so much joy to be had by studying the saints, studying the Bible from a Catholic perspective, because it's so rich. There's such understanding there for over 2,000 years. It, you know, whatever you love about Christianity will grow and multiply like you can't imagine in the Catholic Church. There's nothing anywhere else like it. It's magnificent. You know, a lot of people look at the saints. For instance, St. Mother Teresa. You know, any of them. And they think, oh, they're on this pedestal way up there and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? They didn't start there. Very few of the saints were called to be saints from a young age. They grew into being saints. They were very similar to you and me when they were younger, but they listened to the Lord. They sought the Lord. They wanted the Lord, and they grew into sainthood. Well, if we seek the Lord and we want the Lord, He will grow us into sainthood. Maybe not the kind that you see canonized in Rome, but we are all called to be saints, which are basically people who love the Lord and live for Him and share their love with others in obedience to what the Lord has said that we should do. Those who obey me, love me. So if you say that you love him and you don't obey him, or you have decided that you don't have to go to church, I'm okay without church. I'm telling you from my own experience and from the experience of everybody I know, that is not true. It's a form of rebellion, and it's very sad. And I'm sharing that with you because I want you to be happy. I want you to have a rich, profound Christian life. And if somebody hurt you in a church, go to another one. Or ask the Lord to teach you how to deal with that at that church. How do I deal with this in a constructive way? How can I let you heal me, and then I can work on healing that relationship, even though that person hurt me? Or maybe you're around a progressive priest who you really don't think is in touch with, grounded in church teachings anymore. He's gotten off base somehow. You know, maybe you're wrong, but if you're not, go to a different parish. Go where you're going to thrive. Or stay at that parish and work on that parish as part of the team. You know, I'm a firm believer in not running away. Okay, we had some issues at our parish a few years ago that were very serious. And I would imagine that maybe a third of the people in the parish left. But the rest of us hung in there, and it wasn't easy, but it worked out just fine. It worked out really well, you know. And so, you know, sometimes I'm a real believer in, unless it's really destructive, bloom where you're planted, that old adage, you know. So anyway, I shared that article with you because I wanted you to realize how very important our Catholic Christian witness is. Let people who are visiting or inquiring come into our parishes and see us being reverent. See us preparing for Mass, praying, and smiling and joyful in our faith. Be that example. Don't let them drive by your church and see an empty parking lot. What kind of witness is that for Jesus Christ? If you are a Christian and you really believe in Him and you're staying home, you are not witnessing to the people out there that drive by your church and say, well, there's nothing going on at that place. People don't, you know, Jesus doesn't mean anything to them. Hey, that's what they're thinking. I've had people come up to me in the past and say, oh, you belong to St. Pius. That's where the parking lot is packed to the gills and lined down the road. It's very impressive, you know. Well, you know, with COVID and everything, that changed some things. But still, we have a pretty faithful group who come, and new people are coming, and parents with young children. And if you do that, you're speaking volumes to the world. And it's a witness. I don't want to be in front of the Lord and say, well, I didn't go to church because I didn't like the people there. And he'll say, well, weren't you concerned about being fed by the word, being in community and helping the people that I sent to you, or being a witness to the world by your car being in the parking lot? Didn't that mean anything to you? I don't want him to be disappointed that I did something like that. So I go, and I'm richer for it. And I guarantee that you will be too. So anyway, I have to take a little break. So I hope you'll stick with me. I have more to share with you after the break. And I'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Huck Lane, your host for the next half hour. Last half hour, I shared a New York Post article about young adults who are joining the Catholic Church, or they're at least in the process of becoming Catholic, and the article talks about why, and a lot of it had to do with their disillusioned with all of the cultural aspects that drive one, try to replace religion with everything else under the sun, and it doesn't work. Or I should say, replace Jesus Christ with everything under the sun, and it doesn't work. And there, many of them said they're happier than they've ever been, and they have such peace of mind, and they're filled with joy. And God bless them. God bless them. I know, as an adult who joined the Catholic Church, it's very hard as an adult to come to terms with being in a different church, or letting go of your own Godhead and realizing that you're not God, and that God does exist and you better listen to him. You know, it's not easy to do that. And so I really admire them, and I know that they are going to be very, very, very glad that they have done this. There's nothing in the world like being in relationship with Jesus Christ. And the lifestyle that he offers us protects our hearts from so much anguish and heartache and anxiety and fears and a life that's like being in a raft on the rapids, just going all over the place, out of our control. That's not Christianity. It's beautiful and it's magnificent, and they're finding that out. And I hope that you have found that out already. And if you haven't, I'm praying that you will. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to move on. The church calendar. One of the things I love, 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 love about being Catholic is they have a calendar. Every month of the year is on this calendar, and I'll hold it up so you can see it. If you're on the radio, you can't. But right now, we're in the season of Advent, and then we move into the season of Christmas. Then we move into a time that's called Ordinary Time. Then we move into Lent, which is right before Easter. And then, of course, we have the Holy Week, which is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then Easter, okay? And then we go back into some ordinary time again, and then it starts all over again. But I love it because it really, the church has, you know, in the Old Testament and in the early church, there were always festivals and feasts and celebrations and fasting and special community events in the temple and the synagogue throughout the year. It was a part of life centered on their faith. And the Catholic Church has that too. Some of the other Christian churches have some of it, but not all of it. But it's so wonderful to have these times to celebrate. And also, like, Advent and Lent are preparation times. The two big, most important, in many respects, events in the world were when Jesus was born and when Jesus died and was resurrected. And so to have a calendar that helps us move through the year in constructive ways and celebrate, I mean, there's feast days, there's you name it, there's all kinds of wonderful things that go on. Today is the feast of the I'm not sure it's a feast, my brain's not working right now, but it's the Immaculate Conception about Our Lady. And so we all went to church today. I hope you did. And we were able to celebrate Our Lady and all that she means to us and how special she is and how special she was and how we can look at. She said yes to the Lord, not knowing at all, really, what she was saying yes to. She just trusted. And she wanted to be who he wanted her to be. So she said yes. And she did not have a life of roses and champagne and caviar. You know, she had a lot of heartbreak and a lot of anxiety. Well, I don't think she suffered from a lot of anxiety because she just trusted. You know, when we really trust him, our anxiety diminishes. And that's one of the things I keep trying to help people understand about being in church and about going deeper into your relationship with him. Because the deeper you go in your relationship with him, the more you pray, the more you spend time with him, the more you ponder like Our Lady did, the more you study scriptures to find out, well, what is this God really like? What did Jesus come to reveal to us? He said he came to reveal the Father to us. So what did he show us? When you get into this and you start to understand who he really is, and he starts, you're giving him permission to reveal himself to you. He's not going to knock you over the head. If you ask him, he'll do it though. And you start to realize, wow, You know, this is amazing. So the more you delve into these things, the deeper your relationship will be. And if you, right now, you know, Advent is a time of waiting, but it is constructive waiting. We're waiting for the Lord's birthday, but we're also waiting for him to return when he comes back again, because he said he will, and he will. Scripture's full of it. And also, he is coming every day into our lives in a fresh and new way. And into these young people who are coming into the church, he is coming. It's like a first coming for them. So it's really a wonderful time to be in preparation, in expectation. So don't let Advent, a lot of people, they know Advent is a special time, but they're so busy running around getting ready for Christmas and doing everything for Christmas that they completely miss Advent. Advent is a beautiful season, a beautiful season. And it's rooted in history, in biblical scriptures, in church traditions. It's filled with meaning, especially hope, waiting in joyful hope. Okay, it's a very important time of spiritual preparation. It's the Lord constantly is speaking to us. The Lord is constantly revealing himself to us. The more we want him, the more he wants to give us. So if we are seeking him during Advent, making time for him in the midst of all of the things that we're doing otherwise, that means a lot to him. And he rewards that. He gives back. Because he knows it's not easy. He knows we have to make sacrifices for that to happen. So anyway, to get back to Advent. If you don't own one, I highly recommend that you get an Advent wreath. That's what it's called, an Advent wreath, or something that's made to be used like a traditional Advent wreath, and use that during Advent. And you can read online about how to do that. There's four candles, three purple and one pink, and I'll be talking about that next week. But, you know, each week you light one of the candles, and the next week you've got two candles, and the third week you've got three, and then four candles, and then there's a white candle that goes in the middle, and that's used on Christmas, during the Christmas season. But basically, you can do a little, you can just light the candle and walk away, or you can do, there's a lot of little prayer things, short little prayer things that you can do each week. You don't even have to do it every day, just each week to commemorate and prepare for in Advent for Christmas, for the Lord's coming. And there are 4 weeks in Advent, and each has a theme that we're supposed to focus on. And so I wanted to share some of that with you. And I know that a lot of you, lifelong Catholics, you know this stuff, but I also know that a lot of Catholics don't. They go through the motions, they do it, but they don't understand the roots of it and the beauty of it and how important it is to take advantage of it. And so, you know, and especially if you have children, wow, there's so many wonderful things you can be doing during Advent, like the Jesse tree. You know, look that up online, Jesse tree, and do that with your children. I mean, you can do it as a couple, obviously, but it's really effective with children, really effective. It's really a beautiful thing. So anyway, week one of Advent, which started Sunday, November 30th, a little over a week ago, the theme for last week was hope. Hope. It's we're looking forward to Jesus Christ coming in the past, in the future, and being with us now, and the promises that God made to his people throughout history that were fulfilled in Jesus. You can trust God, because if you study salvation history, Bible timeline, Bible in a year, if you study that whole thing, you will learn to trust the Lord, because you will see how he was working all throughout history that leads up even to today. And it's an eye-opener, and it gives you so much peace of mind. So last week, it was about hope, waiting in joyful hope, because, you know, there's a scripture where the Lord says, the Lord God says, I have said it, and I will do it. I have said it, and I will do it. And that is a promise from the Lord to you and to me. The things he has said in scriptures, the things that he has given us in the church, he has said it, he will do it. Trustworthy. This week, week two, began yesterday, and the theme is peace. So we have hope, and now we have peace. All right. And what we focus on during this week is that Jesus Christ brings peace to the world. And we should embrace his peace and seek his peace. The only true peace that will ever happen in the world, that will ever last, will be the peace that comes from God. Yes, we are the vessels. It comes through us, but it's not of us. We help, but it's from God. And he is one of the names that was prophesied for Jesus, Prince of Peace. If we all live according to his way that he taught us, which the Creator God knows us better than anything and has given us guidelines on what we should and shouldn't do to have peace and joy and love and all of the things we're looking for. If we would do these things, if we would live these things, the world would be a very different place. But we're hard-hearted and stubborn, stiff-necked, as they say in the Bible, and that causes the problems of the world. So anyway, peace. Jesus brings peace to the world, but we don't always accept it. We want peace according to our way, and our way a lot of times is filled with selfishness or pride. And to have peace, you have to be humble before the Lord. You have to let him be God and use you as his instrument. Like St. Francis' prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me sow pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Because all of those good things come from God. And as an instrument of his, being a beloved daughter and son of God, that is our purpose. To take the love that we get from him and bring it out there as a healing force. And so in Advent, we are growing in that and growing in that and growing in that. And it's a very joyful time. Very joyful. I'm not a person who looks at Christmas as a burden. Oh, yeah, it's crazy and insane and it's frustrating at times and, you know, that sort of thing when you really just want to lay on the sofa. But you know what? If you have Jesus, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. So, anyway, this week's theme, last week was hope. This week's theme is peace. Next week, theme is joy, which means we rejoice in the anticipation of Jesus coming, waiting in joyful hope. rejoicing in the anticipation of Jesus coming, in anticipation of the holiness and the beauty of the season. I love driving around and seeing decorations at Christmas time. And even the Hanukkah stuff, the decoration. I love those decorations. I love it. And so if you're thinking, oh, I'm too tired to decorate, I don't want to decorate, well, think outside the box. Think about the people that love, and it gives great joy to them to see your decorations. It lifts their spirits. Maybe somebody's down in the dumps and depressed, but they see the beauty of your decorations and it lifts their spirits. Decorate your house. Go all in. Go all out. Especially the outside stuff. I'm in the process of reevaluating what I'm going to do, what we're going to do with our house. But I think it's important to show the world that you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, so what? You decorate your house with the joy of the Christmas season, even if it's a secular Christmas. You know, it's still bringing joy to the world. Okay? Obviously, I hope you'll be Christian, you know, but at least enjoy this season. And then week four, the theme is love. Remembering God's love for humanity in sending his son and sharing that love with others. Okay, so 4 weeks, hope, peace, joy, and love. And so the four candles are lit. And, you know, one each week to celebrate and ponder those four subjects. I wanted to share with you, I don't have much time left, but I wanted to share with you, there was an article, The Four Advent Sundays and How to Honor Them by Amy Blossom. And it's really lovely. She starts out, the name of it is Living in the Light. Every year, Advent arrives quickly or quietly. Christmas decorations go up, lights begin to glow, and churches bring out the familiar wreath with its purple and pink candles. As a child, I remember our church observing Advent every Sunday leading up to Christmas. At that time, I didn't understand the significance. But now, as an adult, I understand that beneath this tradition lies a rich and beautiful purpose. It is not a countdown to presents or a sentimental prelude to Christmas morning. She says, she goes on, but I can't do the whole article. Look at each week of Advent and how Christians honor them. The first week, hope, I mentioned to you. The first candle is often called the prophet's candle. It invites us to remember the long, yearning hope of God's people. For centuries, Israel waited for a Messiah who would rescue, heal, and restore them in their land. Their hope wasn't wishful thinking. It was trust in God who always keeps his promises. And in the prophet Isaiah, he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. As we light the first candle, we join that same hope. We remember that we are people who wait, not in despair, but in expectation. We look at our world and our lives and whisper, Lord, we need you. Lord, we trust you. Okay. All right. And then week two, peace. The second candle is the Bethlehem candle and reminds us that God's peace often enters quietly, humbly, and unexpectedly. He is a God that speaks in a still, small voice who works in sweet little ways in us. He very rarely hits us over the head. Okay, so she says here, that candle reminds us that his peace often enters quietly, humbly, and unexpectedly. The Messiah came not to a palace, but a manger. He came not with armies, but with angels, announcing peace to shepherds in the fields. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This peace is not due to the absence of trouble, however. This peace reminds us of the presence of Christ in the midst of our trouble. Okay. Then she goes on to talk about love. The fourth week, the final purple candle is the angel's candle. Oh, wait, I missed three. Joy. Week 3, Joy, the third candle, is traditionally pink, which is the color of celebration. This candle is called the Shepherd's Candle, and it reflects the joy that breaks into the world through Jesus Christ. The shepherds were the first to hear the news of the birth of Jesus. These shepherds were just ordinary and often overlooked people who were standing under an ordinary night sky, and yet they received a message from the angel of the Lord. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Advent joy is not superficial happiness. It's the deep assurance that God has come near. And then the fourth week, love. The final purple candle is the angel's candle, and it points us to the love of God displayed in Christ's birth. Jesus did not come because the world was lovely, but because we were loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Love is the heartbeat of Advent. Love is why Christ came. Love is why we prepare our hearts. Okay, and then the Christmas candle, the white one, that is separate. Some traditions include a fifth candle. This is the white Christ candle. The Christ candle is lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and reminds us that every theme of Advent finds its fulfillment in Jesus. He is our hope, our peace, our joy, and our love. And then she goes on to say, why these themes matter today. Advent calls us to pause in a season that typically rushes past us. It pulls us back to the center of our faith and reminds us that Jesus came once and he is coming again. We light the Advent candles not to perform a ritual, but to remember this one reality. We live between two Advents. The first was in Bethlehem. The second is still to come. The themes of Advent give us a weekly invitation to align our hearts with that truth. And she says, a final thought this year, whether Advent is brand new or beautifully familiar to you, let these four Sundays guide your heart in the hope for what God has promised, in the peace of his presence, in the joy of his salvation, and in the love that changes everything. May this season draw you closer to Christ. He is the light who came into our darkness, the Savior who lives within us, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will return. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. It is a joyful time. To be Catholic is filled with joy. If you are focusing on the right things, it's not easy. Ask the Lord to give you the joy of the season. Ask the Lord to open your heart and your mind and your ears and your whole self to the beauty of the season of Advent and the season of Christmas. You probably know this, but so many people, they work so hard during Advent that when Christmas comes, they're tired of Christmas. They're tired of the music. They're tired of everything. And they take down all their decorations and Christmas is gone. But in the Catholic Church, Christmas Day is the beginning of the Christmas season. It's the beginning of the Christmas season. Our decorations need to remain up as a witness to the world that Advent is not Christmas. I know I have some Catholic friends who do not decorate till Christmas Eve. And you read that in some stories, how the parents would go and get a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve and decorate it, so the children would have that as a present on Christmas Day because it was the beginning of the Christmas season. So anyway, I want to leave you with this. You know, I work with Mother Teresa's Sisters, Missionaries of Charity. And they use Advent, the Missionaries of Charity, as a time to ready their hearts, prepare their hearts like the manger was prepared for Jesus. So Mother Teresa's Advent Challenge, and I'm giving this to you, all right? She said, are we ready to receive Jesus when he comes? Before the birth of Jesus, his parents asked for a simple dwelling place, but there was none. If Mary and Joseph were looking for a home for Jesus, would they choose your heart and all it holds? Let us pray that we shall be able to welcome Jesus at Christmas, not in the cold manger of a selfish heart, but in a heart full of love, compassion, joy, and peace, a heart warm with love for one another. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what the Lord wants for you. He wants a heart full of love, compassion, joy, and peace, a heart warm with love for other people. That is the fulfillment of all that we are as human beings. But it's only possible through him, and he is waiting to give that to you. Let him give it to you, please. My heart beats for you to do that, because I've been there. I've been there. And there's nothing like him. Nothing like the Catholic Church. And I'm going to finish up here with a prayer for Mother Teresa. They prayed it every day. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every person we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around us. I have to go. It's been wonderful being with you. Until we're together again, please pray for us at the network, and we'll be praying for you. God bless. See you next week.